Yeah, so with my health coaching, I actually use this background of, you know, just the struggles that I've had with body dysmorphia. And I also struggled with emotional eating. So a lot of what I do with my health coaching is I actually help my clients kind of look beneath the surface and kind of take a look at, like, what emotions they're going through, if there's any kind of distress in their life, you know. So I kind of try to address what's on the inside before we actually address diet and nutrition. Because I know personally, like, that played a lot into my issues. And, like, I believe that's where true health starts anyways.
Right.
On the inside.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening and sharing the podcast. We can tell you guys are doing so because of the download numbers. They continue to grow each week. And if you haven't done so already, please give us that rating and review in iTunes or SoundCloud or iHeartRadio. Wherever you guys listen to us, just give us that rating and review. All right, we got a very special episode this week.
It is an interview with Carlin Garman.
Yes, who happens to be, as you guys will hear in the episode, not only close to us in really, like, I guess in life, but in actual location. Yeah, geographically, yeah, she's close to me.
Geographically, very close to us.
She's actually like our downright neighborhood grocery or organic grocery delivery service. We buy our eggs from her every once in a while, and you guys will hear all about her once we get into the interview, but we want to give you a couple updates about us. First things first, we're going to say Happy Mother's Day, because this is coming out the day after
Mother's Day.
Because I'm going to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom, who listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
So give her a wish her a Happy Mother's Day, and to all the mothers out there.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. And also, starting the week after Mother's Day, I'm starting a boot camp class at Tampa Strength. So this is going to be a morning boot camp. We're going to incorporate some striking, some body weight, some resistance training, something really quick in a group training style to get you started your morning off right. So if you live in Tampa Bay, you want to check out the morning boot camp at Tampa Strength, just search Rise and Grind Boot Camp. All right,
I really like the name, by the way.
Rise and Grind?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what you got to do. You got to wake up and get after it first thing in the morning. We've talked about a couple times on here the benefits of early morning training. It seems like a lot of the research says is extremely beneficial. It just sets you up for a more successful day, my opinion, you know?
Yep, I would agree with that.
So, and you are getting ready to get back into yoga.
Yeah, I do have a full weekend of yoga classes coming up, so.
Yep.
That will be interesting.
Yeah, you've had a little bit of break. We almost, like, had back-to-back weeks
like
where we
had, like, a full month. Yeah.
So, that's going to be
great.
Yeah, you're going to be jumping back into that. We got a lot of other stuff going on, including Upshur future interview podcast coming to you. But before we get to those, we got to get to this interview. So, without further ado, we're going to get to our interview with the owner and founder of the organic grocery delivery service, Growing Roots, Carlin Garman. My guest today is a holistic health coach, a clothing designer, and the CEO and founder of an organic grocery delivery service known as Growing Roots. She also happens to be my neighbor. I'm super excited to welcome Carlin Garman to the Addicted to Fitness podcast. How are you doing today, Carlin?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I'm obviously, like I mentioned, you are my neighbor, which is awesome. And we would have never known that if we didn't meet at a little local market right down the street, I think, at your local church, correct?
Yep.
Or your church. So
mm-hmm.
And it's right down the street from where we live. And you were, you know, advertising your company and your products, selling your products. And we got to talking because I'm super interested in your products, the products your company offers. And found out that, hey, we're neighbors. We live on the same street.
Yep.
And it was good. It was convenient. So I can get all those products that we've mentioned on the podcast before, the eggs, the raw dairy, right next. I can just walk over and get to go to you for you're like my little organic grocery store.
That's
so
right.
That was awesome. I was a very coincidental meeting that was benefiting me greatly. So, Carlin, I know you have a kind of an extensive fitness journey that I wanted to get into first before we get into your company. Where did your kind of your passion for more of a holistic approach to fitness begin?
Well, I've actually always been an athlete. I started playing soccer when I was very young, rode horses for a while. Did some weightlifting and stuff in college, but it wasn't really until, honestly, when I got pregnant that I really started taking a look at what was in my food, what kind of foods I was eating, kind of started realizing the downside to consuming processed foods and just kind of actually taking my nutrition more to a whole foods type diet.
What type of products were you mainly concerned? Obviously, you said you were trying to minimize processed products, but were you looking at, you know, switching over to all organic or more pasture-raised stuff, or was it just kind of a little combination of both?
I mean, honestly, it's really a huge switch to go from processed foods to whole foods. Mm-hmm. At that time, you know, like, I would buy chips and pretzels and you know, eat them in moderation, but even like soups or, you know, canned vegetables, just kind of understanding what kind of goes into all of that and how you lose nutrients through that process. And, you know, just really taking a look at labels. Up until that point, I paid a lot of attention to, say, like the balance between proteins and carbs and fats mm-hmm. in my food. But I wasn't really taking a look at the ingredients that I was consuming mm-hmm. within those foods.
Yeah, more of a macro approach to everything than actually looking at the micronutrients within that. Yeah, I think a lot of people do that. You know, they're really hit over the head with the fact of how important, you know, so much protein is or not too little carbs, and they don't really focus on the micronutrients, the vitamins and minerals that are in foods or not in foods to
right,
a certain
exactly.
extent. So what else? You talked about, you know, obviously when you got pregnant was kind of the part where you were like, hey, I need to start recognizing to change my approach to nutrition. And, you know, but you've always been kind of fitness oriented. Is there any type of other events that, you know, you were maybe adjusted your approach or even kind of more, I wouldn't say adjust your approach, but it facilitated that change to a more holistic lifestyle?
Yeah, actually, when I was about 20 or 21, I was diagnosed with a medical condition called PCOS, which stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome, and along with that, hyperinsulinemia, which is basically a pre-diabetic disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So it was at that point that I really, that's kind of where I started more balancing my proteins and carbs and fats and all that.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you... Well, being pre-diabetic, did you have to, were you like monitoring your glucose, your blood sugar and everything like that?
I actually never had to monitor it. We controlled it. I took metformin every day to kind of help regulate that. But yeah, besides that, I was basically just told, you know, that my protein intake should equal at least half of what my carbs were. So it was more just like about balancing my meals
mm-hmm.
And trying to get, you know, and trying to prevent any type of sugar spike.
Okay. Now, did you notice this? I mean, was there something that you were, like, noticing in the gym? Maybe were you more fatigued? Or did this come out? Was this also another product of, you know, maybe I know there's a lot of testing when you get pregnant. Did they discover that when you were testing? Or was that before you got pregnant?
This was before. This
okay.
was about actually 6 or 7 years before. So, actually, it just had to do with my female cycle
mm-hmm.
that we noticed that something was off. And so that's when my gynecologist ran some blood tests, and that's where they found the sugar imbalance and connected the dots.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, since then, since you discovered that, did and you made your changes, metformin is a prescription drug, I'm assuming?
It is.
Okay. Did you notice once you caught that on, did you perform better when you were doing events or any athletic competition? Well, not competitions, but any, you know, fitness endeavors?
Yeah, well, honestly, a kind of a big part, too, of giving us a clue that something was wrong was the fact that I was remaining active as normal, and I put quite a bit of weight on, and I couldn't get rid of it. So taking the metformin helped me get rid of that weight, but I was still, you know, probably about 10 pounds heavier than I am now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, I guess regardless of what you did, it was, like, the weight wasn't coming off or anything right, exactly. like that. Because obviously you said you've been an athlete for a long time, so it was kind of a, you know, some of the signal that your body, something going on in your body that you're, it's not you're being lazy. It's a fact that there's some sort of something that's affecting your in, you know, your body. So,
right.
Well, that's obviously, I'm sure all that, you know, being pregnant and being more cognizant of what you were putting into your body and already having a pre-existing condition. So you probably had to be pretty, you know, aware of what type of foods and what type of, you know, activities you can do. I'm assuming that kind of all led to the company, you founding the company.
Yeah. And actually too, so obviously once I got pregnant, I went off of my medication. And once I had my son, I just never went back on it. Mm-hmm. And, that again, like that was kind of the point in time where I really started taking a look at the ingredients in my food. And so I don't know, in my mind, like I felt like that switch was a kind of facilitated me being able to not, to, you know, get rid of the medication mm-hmm. in my life. And yeah, so then I just kind of, you know, went to this whole foods diet. And started, you know, trying to get as much as I could from local farmers.
And then, obviously, like we mentioned in the beginning, Growing Roots is your company, and it's essentially, you know, organic grocery delivery service. Mm-hmm. And you already just, obviously, you just mentioned that you connect with local farmers. Now, why did you decide to go that route to kind of, you know, support the local farmers? Because especially here in Florida, people, I don't think people realize how big farming is here in Florida. What drew you to kind of going out and seeking out the small farmers to support them?
Well, honestly, that just kind of goes back to knowing what's in my food. And personally, I just felt like if I was going to be really sure of what I was putting into my body, then I would get it straight from the source.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously, you know, when you have a small farmer, you can get a little bit better details, more details. You're not going through a chain of command of a large company or, you know, obviously there's some disconnect when you buy stuff at the grocery store, you know, that you're kind of getting it, you know, second and third hand. It's been passed on through, you know, I mean, if it's not from this country, it's been shipped here and things like that. So not only are you losing nutrients, you're losing information about where that product came from and how it was grown.
Right, exactly. And also, like, once produce leaves the farm, there's no way to regulate it. Mm-hmm. So honestly, like, I know a lot of people in the industry, other distributors, who have told me stories of, you know, organic stickers being put on conventional produce before it gets taken to the store. So it's like you gotta just, you know, understand that type of thing happens.
Right. And of course, I think a lot of it too, packaging can have issues with packaging. You can get, you know, bacteria within even the packaging of some vegetables and things like that. So that's an issue. So what type of products does Growing Roots offer?
Our main thing is the organic quality produce. We also do pastured and grass-fed meats, free-range eggs, raw dairy, and we also do some other smaller items like bone broth and local honey, that type of thing.
Yes, yes. Actually, Carlin just brought over some bones. She just cooked down, essentially. They're actually very good treats for the dog, so Jasmine is enjoying those right now. With the organic and the non-GMO, when possible, vegetables, do you feel like those are superior? Because honestly, we just had a recent episode, we talked about the Dirty Dozen list. I don't know if you're familiar with that, about, you know, what vegetables have the most pesticide. I'm sure you've done some research, but what is it to you, the value of organic non-GMO? How important is it to you?
Yeah. So personally, I believe that, well, I guess overall, I want my body to be functioning as optimally as possible. And to me, if we are intaking foods that are sprayed with herbicides and pesticides, that is giving our body more toxins that it needs to basically detox. So in my opinion, consuming organic foods is just going to be a more whole nutrition And it's also going to be feeding our body pure nutrition that it's not necessarily going to have to combat once it's, you know, through going through the digestive system.
Right. That makes sense. I mean, obviously, since pesticides, so some obviously are a toxin, are designed to be a toxin, I'm sure, you know, they're probably having some sort of effect on our body. So, you know, it creates an immune response, which leads to inflammation. And, we've talked about inflammation a lot, about how that can lead to different chronic diseases and syndromes. So that's I agree with that point and that belief also. Now, do you think it's is it always possible to buy organic? Because that's the thing. Because, I mean, obviously the price point now for some organic products is a little high. Do you offer any conventionally raised stuff that may be, you know, considered like on, you know, the Clean 15, which is have the cleaner produce? Do you offer any of that, or is it all just, you know, organically grown stuff?
As a company, that's just my prerogative, is to offer all organic quality foods. And that includes like hydroponics and also herbicide pesticide free. So everything that I offer is not certified organic, but it's all like at that level.
Okay. Now, can you explain hydroponics for a little bit? I mean, I understand the words together, but how do they kind of do that? How do they produce vegetables that way, or produce,
right? So interestingly enough, hydroponics actually cannot be certified organic because of the way that they're grown. Because hydroponics actually is a system that feeds the plant through a liquid. So it's actually like basically a water going through a trough feeding the roots of the plant. And within that trough, there's going to be nutrients for the plant to help it grow. But because these plants aren't grown in dirt, that's why they can't be certified organic.
Right. Yeah. And I'm assuming like they have, you know, filtration systems for the water or something, and then they inject them with the nutrients they need that would replace the soil, correct?
Right. Yeah. And sometimes a hydroponic system might be set up with an aquaponic system, so that it's actually taking nutrients from fish that's living there to
Help
the plants.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I have been familiar with some of those systems too. That's pretty cool. That's an interesting way, and maybe a possible way with the amount of kind of soil degradation that we're having nowadays, that, you know, we might have to be growing our vegetables in that way too. So
exactly. And also because Florida can have such a difficult summer to grow in, a lot of farms can actually continue growing through the summer with a hydroponic system.
Wow. And they can do that on a large scale basis? Or, I mean, actually, you deal with small farms, they can do
some
that.
Some of these farms actually have a very large hydroponic system, though.
Wow.
But yeah, doing that is difficult to get variety then.
Right.
Most of these farms are going to kind of stick to one, two, maybe three different types of crops doing that.
What do you see as the most popular hydroponic product?
Lettuces and greens.
Lettuce and greens. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. I didn't even know that was something
especially
I wasn't aware
of. Especially in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Nice. And one thing I wanted to touch on, one of the other products, like I said, a big fan of grass-fed and pasture-raised beef or meat products, and, you know, pasture-raised eggs. We buy eggs from you all the time. And what I wanted to ask you about is raw dairy. What is raw dairy, and why, and I know I'm a fan, why should people be a little bit more, be less apprehensive about raw dairy?
Yeah, well, of course, especially here in Florida, we have to include the disclaimer that raw dairy is only for pet consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically just has to do with the fact that it's not pasteurized, and we have to be upfront about that. I could go on and on about all the different regulations that, you know, the government gives us that I don't necessarily think should be there, but you have to understand that when it comes to small farms, that, like, the government has to regulate something.
Right.
So it makes sense. The farm that I use specifically is a very large Mennonite farm, family farm that's been around for years, and it has never had issues. Some of the things that, like, you just have to kind of take a look at when you're dealing with a farm is the cleanliness, their attention to the health of their animals, the, you know, cleanliness of their fields, all that kind of stuff, especially because it's not being pasteurized. I don't know, like, personally, I believe, so kind of when it, coming back to, like, just why eat organic, why eat grass-fed, all these things, I want my food in its most natural form. And that goes for my dairy, too. I'm sure you understand that, you know, whenever you pasteurize something, you're not just killing the bad bacteria, but you're killing the good bacteria too. And even like prescription medications can act the same way, or, you know, the common cold or whatever. Yes, you're killing the bad bacteria that's making you sick, but you're also killing the good bacteria. Yeah. So you have to take a probiotic to, you know, kind of bring those levels back up in your body. So in my opinion, the raw dairy actually just kind of comes more as like that whole food that our body can utilize with all the nutrients that are important for, you know, just gut health and all those types of things.
Right. Yeah. And that's, and we've talked about bacteria before, and it's super important to realize that, you know, kind of the milk you buy off the shelf, even though you're seeing more grass-fed milk nowadays in grocery stores and stuff, but like you said, the pasteurization process is so essentially just kills anything in there. So you're really, you're driving down the nutritional, the overall nutritional value. Yes, certainly there you might get some of the macronutrient benefit from it, but like we said from the beginning, you eliminate a lot of micronutrient benefits that was once in the milk, which made milk, you know, I mean, pretty beneficial to humans. You know, I know there's a lot of people, you know, kind of make the claim is that, you know, we shouldn't be drinking milk from another mammal or stuff like that, which I can understand, I guess, to a certain extent. But hey, you know, there are nutritional benefits, especially to stuff like raw dairy. So that's a product I really believe in for my pets, of course, not for me.
Right.
Yes, that's what we want to make sure. For the pets, we want to believe it for, or we like to have it for. All right, so we talked about Growing Roots. That's an organic delivery service. So mainly now it's more, you know, people do online orders and then you bring it to them?
Yes, so I have a website people can order off of online. I also, like, I have a very personal relationship with a lot of my clients, so many times I'll get a text or I'll get a message on Facebook or whatever. I actually am in the process of having an app developed as well to kind of make that ordering more seamless and easier for people to access.
Nice. That's excellent. Yeah, obviously I just text you, I think, a chicken and an egg picture and then you know what's up. So that's good. Now I want to kind of switch gears too. We talked about Growing Roots and then the importance of the kind of the more wholesome nutrition. I want to talk about a little bit more about kind of like the fitness endeavors you're going or you're taking part in right now. So I know you're like hitting the gym pretty hard, but I asked you about it because you also do, I don't want to call it modeling, but you do some, you take a lot of photography, like do a lot of photographies. You're a, I would say a model for photography also. But you really don't, you know, you're not any interest in going into fitness competitions or physique competitions. And you had an interesting kind of opinion. I wanted to hear about why you think maybe they're, you're not really for those.
Yeah. So, I have people ask me all the time if I've competed or if I'm going to compete or this or that. And I just don't really believe in the whole, like, bulking and cutting stages of getting ready for that. I just feel like it really puts the body under abnormal duress that, like, it doesn't need to be under. And I, from friends of mine that have even been in competition, they've told me, like, it's really bad for you. It's really bad for your body. It's just not like a normal process that our bodies are, you know, supposed to be taking. And also, like, towards the end of that process is a huge, like, dehydration phase, which I just, like, I don't want to be putting my body through that once, two, three times a year. So.
Yeah. I understand that, and we've actually had somebody we've interviewed on the podcast, and we kind of talked about who was a physique competitor. We've talked to bodybuilders before, and you're right. It's like you got to kind of almost like cut weight, essentially, because from my background in combat sports, that was a big part of it, was making weight, you know, cutting that weight. And for some reason, our approach, you know, a lot of people's approach is, you know, you try to be as heavy as possible, as long as possible, and then the last, you know, maybe week before training or less, you try to cut down to make that weight. And like you said, it's a dehydration process. It's always miserable, you know. I mean, essentially, you're trying to go into a starvation diet to lose those last couple extra pounds. And especially with physique competitors, I mean, you're trying to create almost symmetry out of your body. You're trying to almost make your body look as unnatural as possible.
Right, exactly.
And it doesn't sound, not only does it sound physically, in just my opinion, and where I can see where your opinion comes from, is not only could it be physically damaging, but, you know, I think kind of like your mindset is somewhat, you know, affected.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that too. And I guess I have to add, that's another reason, that's something that I don't know that I'll ever do, because I have a background in body dysmorphia.
Okay.
So that's something that I struggled with for a long time. And it's just like, I don't need to be like willingly be putting myself through that kind of process.
Right.
And I actually have a friend who actually pretty holistically coaches a lot of girls through this process, mm-hmm. and doesn't do so much of the dehydration type thing. But he'll tell me that a lot of these girls do have body dysmorphia, and it's just crazy like what they put themselves through.
Right. Can you elaborate on what body dysmorphia is? I've heard the term before, but I'd love to get kind of your definition of it.
Okay. In layman's terms, distorted body image. So basically, you might look in the mirror and think, oh my gosh, I'm so fat. When in reality, like, you're a normal human being. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just don't have the build of a supermodel.
Right.
So it kind of just comes back to, like, how you look at yourself in your own head. And I guess like a large amount of comparison to other people kind of plays into that.
Right.
So you can imagine being on a stage with all these other beautiful women, like you can like totally nitpick like, oh, well, she looks better there, this or that, you know.
Yeah. And then literally being judged by people.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can see where that could affect your mindset. You know, obviously I'm sure there are some people that can handle it and somewhat thrive off of it, but, I know they have, you know, maybe divisions that are, I wouldn't, they call them natural divisions, or
like
maybe
a bikini division that's not as
right. That yeah, they're less kind of less professional or amateur or something like that. So, but as you can say, like getting into that mindset, and I don't want to say it sounds like I'm passing judgment on people that participate in this, but maybe they have, you know, better mental fortitude than I do. But like you said, just getting literally being judged on the way your body look, I feel that can create, like you said, that body dysmorphia. And not only do you have that event to prepare for, but then you have social media nowadays too, right. Where, I mean, you're always, not only are you maybe possibly being judged, but then you're looking at people on social media and try to compare yourself to them.
Right.
So, I mean, I can imagine how much of a difficult kind of endeavor that can be. So I see your approach. I mean, I see your opinion.
I don't
what your
down
side.
On people that
yeah,
do it. You know,
of course
I just
not.
Feel like it's not something for me.
Right. I think it's definitely a competition, a mental and a physical competition. So, and like I said, definitely don't look down on those people. Those people mm-hmm. have a lot of fortitude to do something like that. So it's just, I can see where you could kind of fall into some maybe negative mindset or practices.
Right.
So.
And it can also lead to like just a bad relationship with food too.
Right.
I feel
yeah.
like I can't eat this. Can't eat that.
Right. Yeah. And that's tough, trying to like educate people on proper food. And mm-hmm. like, so when you, I know I mentioned in the intro, you're a holistic health coach. Now, besides Growing Roots and providing people with products, what other type of coaching do you do?
Yeah. So with my health coaching, I actually use this background of, you know, just the struggles that I've had with body dysmorphia. And I also struggled with emotional eating. So a lot of what I do with my health coaching is I actually help my clients kind of look beneath the surface, and kind of take a look at like what emotions they're going through, if there's any kind of distress in their life, you know? So I kind of try to address what's on the inside before we actually address diet and nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'Cause I know personally, like that played a lot into my issues. Like, I believe that's where true health starts anyways.
Right.
On the inside.
Yeah. That's, obviously, it's all connected. Like you said, you're taking the holistic, I mean, honestly, probably the holistic, you're eating whole foods. I mean, you're taking an approach for the whole body approach to it, mind and body. So that's, it's super admirable, and that's why I wanted to talk to you today. And I know you got some other things. What other stuff are you working on that you're going to be doing, like, in the future? I know we're going Growing Roots and maybe your clothing company, too. I saw you started that
recently. Yeah. So I started this side project called Roots Thrive. And it's really, I'm a very creative person, so it's just another like creative outlet for mm-hmm. me, just to kind of like design some fun organic foodie wearables is what I call it. So yeah, that's.
Now I saw one of the shirts. What's some other the organic sayings that you have?
Do
you have
okay, any? So far I have one that says "Don't kill my vibe." Mm-hmm. Another one that says "That's so rad-ish."
I like that one. I love any punny shirts, especially when it involves vegetables or something. I don't know why it's just weird. But anything else? What else you got going on?
Honestly,
is that you're so busy with all that stuff that's keeping you busy?
Being a mom.
Yeah, being a mom. Jeez, I forgot about that.
I was going to say. And I homeschool him.
There you go. Oh, jeez. All right. So you're a teacher, a holistic life coach. You own your own business. You're designing clothes. So yeah, I'll let you off the hook. Yeah, I think that's enough. So, how can people get a hold of you, especially if they live in Tampa Bay and they want to try to, you know, maybe start purchasing products from you, getting some delivered to their house? How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So the best way is to go to my Facebook page. Growing Roots with a Z at the end, and if you click on the shop now button there, then I'll just take you straight to my website.
Okay.
And like I said, I'm getting an app developed, which hopefully will be ready to roll out in the next couple of weeks. So excellent. I guess by the time this podcast is up, it should be ready.
We will have all of Carlin's links on that page, so you guys will find Carlin and you guys can get connected with her, especially if you live in Tampa Bay. She can be bringing you some natural and wholesome goodies. And if not, you guys could follow her on Facebook, follow Growing Roots on Facebook. There's always a lot of good, interesting posts on there for living a more holistic lifestyle. So I really appreciate you joining me today. And, you know, once maybe if you have a new product coming out, a new line of clothing or something you want to promote, maybe you'll come on in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again. That was the interview with Carlin Garman. We hope you guys enjoyed listening to that. You know, Carlin has a lot of irons in the fire, as you heard in that interview. She's got a lot of stuff going on. She's got the organic delivery service, starting her own clothing line, and also starting to get, you know, a little bit more focused on her fitness, too.
Yeah, very impressive lady.
Yeah. So Growing Roots is her company, guys. Check that out. And Roots, of course, has a Z at the end, but we will make sure we put all the links to her company on our show notes. So make sure you guys check out the show notes at elementaltampa.com. A couple things that Carlin talked about in the interview that we want to hit on before we end this episode is the importance of organic groceries. You know,
we've
talked about it a couple times on the podcast, right?
Yeah. We recently had the Dirty Dozen on there, and kind of even was a nice refresher for us, and we pay a lot of attention when we're in the grocery store. But I mean, I think a lot more people have had their awareness kind of raised to what you should really be looking for organic and why it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, not just do you get less pesticides and things like that, but you're also, it's usually a better quality food.
Yeah, and especially with Carlin, the way she has it set up, she gets her, you know, products from local producers. So, you know, the fact that she has the local organic products or just local, really pasture-raised products, that's even more of a benefit because you don't have to worry about the travel time, the nutrient degradation that happens.
That's what I mean by better.
Yes, exactly. So, and another topic she talked about, and she had to play it pretty close to the vest, which is understandable because of some silly rules they have in, you know, FDA and USDA, is the raw milk products.
Oh, gosh, you know?
They're only for pet consumption.
Yeah.
But you know, the
not for humans.
Yeah.
No.
You guys can't see.
You can't see the bunny ears that are happening over here. They're for pet consumption.
But I mean, the benefits of raw milk, I think, outweigh the very small minute type of percentage of where there's been issues with raw milk. And even though I bought stuff that said pet consumption, I'm not going to lie, I've consumed it myself before. I've consumed, like, raw goat milk before, too.
Yeah.
You know? Very interesting, I can tell you that. Definitely, you could tell a little grassy flavor to the milk.
Yeah.
But anyways.
A little earthiness in there.
Uh-huh.
Au naturel.
It's funny, though, because you can buy raw milk, cheese, like at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and I think it's usually imported, right?
Well, Americans are very, very afraid of unpasteurized and raw when it comes to dairy. Like, I think anybody outside the United States will say, like, Americans bastardized cheese and dairy because we just pasteurized the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And they say it's bad for you, you can't eat it, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of ridiculous because it's not as though it's not the devil.
Yeah, I know. Dairy is with certain, you know, in certain amounts and certain forms, it can be beneficial. Yogurt, hard cheeses. And then, but, I mean, I think we really zapped all the nutrients out of milk.
Suck the fun out of so much.
And just because, you know, I mean, I get bacterial infections and they could cause, you know, possible deaths, but I think it's so.
It could cause death.
But, I mean, who cares, right? No, I think it's so minute. The percentage is so minute. You're throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And you're really getting rid of something that can be nutritious for something that's less nutritious. And, you know, for what, really, in my opinion. But another thing she touched on, which I thought was super important, I'm glad she shared it, was that, you know, her kind of holistic lifestyle that kind of led to her creating the Growing Roots was kind of her own medical condition.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of the people I feel like that we've talked to have had their own health challenges that have inspired what they're doing now. And, I mean, I think it leads to almost anybody in the health industry that it's really kind of the desire and passion to overcome the health obstacles that the traditional medicine and world as we know it mm-hmm. has not provided resources for. You get these amazing people that just, you know, they use kind of their own passion to go find different answers. And then they create new products to help people, which is just kind of amazing.
Yeah, it is great.
Super inspirational.
It's very, you know, you hit it on the head. It's like everybody else has a different story, but they arrive at that, just the whole, you know, the end point of trying to improve their health with their fitness.
Yeah.
By changing their fitness, whether it be through nutrition or exercise, whatever it may be. And, you know, obviously, Carlin, she changed it by, you know, paying more attention to whole foods and changing up her diet, ditching the processed foods and everything like that. So, and that led her to creating her company, Growing Roots.
Yep.
So, guys, as we already mentioned, we're going to put all the links for Carlin's company in the show notes. Make sure you check her out on Facebook, Instagram, wherever, and her website also. All those links will be up. So check her out. And if you live in the Tampa Bay area, check out her products. Maybe order some stuff from her. She's got vegetables, pastured raised eggs, beef, chicken, pork. She's got a lot of stuff, and raw dairy could for the pets, of course.
Yeah, and she does pop up at some of the local farmers markets.
Yep. She's really starting to hit that grocery delivery too, so she can have your
so hot right now.
Delivery services are
so hot,
according to Shannon. So yeah, check her out. We'll put all her links on there, and I think that's all we got for you this week.
That's it.
All right, guys. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
See ya.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Yeah. You want me to go ahead?
Yes.
I think that's going to work. 5, 4, 3, 2. Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness.